So I am in spirit with our good friend Tyler, who's up fishing in Alaska. You know, he went with some friends, and I think that's incredible. It's excellent to be able to do that. My only sorrow is that I wasn't one of his friends. Oh, well. You never know how your relationships run or how deep they run until you start talking about fishing. It's a delight for me to be here today and share with you. I want to thank Pastor Jay for inviting me to speak and share with you from my heart as we move forward in this series of messages on the summer of love. It's been a remarkable series, I think. You know, at this point, I'm sitting most of the time where you're sitting, and I'm listening and applying the principles that I'm hearing and the scriptures I'm hearing to my life. And I pray that you're doing the same. I told Jay yesterday, I said, look, I'm just not a high-tech guy, so today I'm not even going to try to put a PowerPoint together. Last time when I put a PowerPoint together, somewhere between my house and this church, it fell off the flash drive. And so you're just going to have to today, you know, listen in old style, where you're just listening with your ears and not watching with your eyes, and see what the Lord can do for you today. You know, Pastor Jay started out the series of the message called The Power of Love, and he took that message out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, a very familiar passage of scripture that most of us can quote some of and realize the power of it. But he did a great job sharing with us about that subject. And then he spoke on the subject of freedom through love. And that was taken as well. It was taken from John 15, verses 12 and 13. The freedom of love. And truly, God wants us free. The only way we're going to ever experience the kind of freedom God wants us to have is if we walk out his principles. Now, I say that to you standing here knowing that how much of a challenge that is. Just because you are called to pastor doesn't mean you're any less human than anyone else, and you have to walk through and work through the things in this life that challenge you. Amen? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But we want to be free. I want to be free. And the only way I know that we can be free is if we apply the scriptures to our own lives and we allow those scriptures to impact us in a very powerful and deep way. Pastor Celeste talked about love in action and how that it's one thing to talk love, it's another thing to put it to work. And then the very week of her sermon, things were happening all around us, all around everybody. And it's like, you know, we needed that message in order for us to check ourselves on attitudes and actions and things of that nature. You see, the Bible talks about the love that God's talking about is a love that you can actually experience. You can see it. You can see it in someone else and you can see it in yourself. And that's what God wants us to understand and to know of and experience in a real and powerful way. Then last week, Pastor Jay talked about love abiding and abiding in the love of God and how important it is for us to abide in his love. The scripture reference there is a powerful reference out of 1 John 4, 13 through 15. And all of what we were taught through scripture was that we have to abide in the vine. If we don't abide in the vine, when the going gets tough, there's nothing to draw from. And so we've got to stay connected in order for us to draw from it during the difficult times. I know the backstory, so I'll share with you. I'm watching Celeste encourage us to receive the tithes this morning and share, you know, that stuff happens and you're not in control of all of it. But what you don't know is that their air conditioner went out. And so here they are, you know, as they're getting ready to try and have a little family vacation, et cetera, and then their air conditioner goes down. And they put a Band-Aid on it and got it fixed. A Band-Aid. A $1,700 Band-Aid, but a Band-Aid nonetheless. But that's cheaper than $11,000, which is what the man said it was going to cost to replace it. My point is, you didn't hear any of that in her voice. You didn't hear any of that in what she was sharing. She was sharing, I put my trust in the Lord. And that's where my help comes from, is from the Lord. I want to give a special thanks to Heidi and the team today. They don't know what I'm preaching on except the platform. And yet the songs were right in line with what we're going to talk about today. The powerful love of God as it relates to us going through difficult places. And I was just listening to the verses of the song, and I was trying to sing them, but they were kind of catching me, and just I was rocking back and listening to the words. And my heart said, I hope we all are hearing what we're singing. I hope we're hearing what we're singing, because his love abides with us. His love never goes anywhere. He doesn't give up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. Has anyone here ever given up on yourself? You just thought, I'm pitiful. No? You want me to ask your spouse? We need to anchor ourselves in truth. And we need to anchor ourselves in love. And therefore, we anchor ourselves in the Word of God. All of these messages are available to you if you'd like to listen to them maybe for the first time or another time. They're available to you on our website, and you can download those and let them be an encouragement to you. I know they will be. One of the things that Buddy Winchester used to do is he'd get my tapes and then later on my CDs, and he'd buy them, and he'd listen to my sermons dozens of times, and he'd say something to me 10 years past when I preached it. I'd say, Pastor, remember that sermon you preached? And I'm going, If I don't say anything, maybe he won't know that I don't know which one he's talking about. But all the way to the end of his life, he had sermons that he enjoyed, and he listened to them over and over again. In the early days of my being Spirit-filled and learning how to walk things out in the Spirit, they called me a tapeworm. I buy stuff on tape. That's what we had back then, tape, little cassette tapes. And I'd listen to the series, 6, 7, 8 sermons over and over and over. We were driving up to a powerhouse I was working on up in northern Arizona, and Cindy said to me, she goes, Rich, do you think there's any way possible we could listen to something else besides this series? We've already heard this about 4 times. But that's how you get the Word of God down in you, is you just consume it, and you let it get into your heart, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And you begin to speak the things of God. At the close of this message today, we're going to take or partake of communion. And I want you to know that on the front end, because I want you to prepare yourself for the communion we're going to take. In light of that, I'd ask you to listen to this sermon, and while you're listening, that you reflect on it as it relates to you. Don't hear this sermon for somebody else. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Don't hear this sermon and go, boy, oh, so-and-so really needs to hear this today. No, they may. They may need to hear it today, but hear it for yourself. Let the Lord speak to you about it today. And I just want to encourage you in that, that whatever the Holy Spirit brings up to you, he only does that out of love. So if he brings something up to you today, I want to encourage you to, before you come to the Lord's table, that you process that and you deal with that and you bring that under the blood of Jesus and you let the Lord minister strength and power to you and in your life and in your body, because you are, in fact, processing these things. Can I hear an amen? I've sought God on what he wanted me to share with you today. And I realized as I was preparing it that there's something out of this scripture that every one of us have in common. Each one of us have to come to terms with this whole subject of love. And how is it going to impact us? How much are we going to let it impact us? How much are we going to let it change us? Some people are more loving than others by nature. My wife's one of those people. She's loving by nature. Me, on the other hand, I've had to have a little of that love, you know, beat into me. And yet I realize the value of it, the beauty of it, and all that is involved in it. And you may be one of those people. You may be a person that just oozes with love. And then maybe not. Maybe you have to learn how to love. Maybe you have to choose to love. And by choosing, I mean you really engage your will to release people to God so that you can love them. Now, I just gave you a principle that took me a quarter of a century to learn, and I'd like for you to learn it, and that is, it doesn't benefit you or profit you one bit to hold somebody else accountable to you, hold a grudge against them, or any of those things. It doesn't benefit you at all. Release them to God. Release them to God. And when you release them to God, why would I do that? Because the Bible says God's a fair and a just and a righteous judge. Me, not so much. But if you'll do that, you'll be amazed. You're free to now love that person. You're free to let the love of God flow out through you to others. It doesn't spoil you. It doesn't taint, what comes out of your mouth. Has anybody here ever, I used to, well, from the time I was young, I love Sun Tea. Sun Tea. Anybody like Sun Tea? Man, it's just so good. But if you leave Sun Tea out in the sun a little too long, it gets bitter. And what I'm trying to say to you is, if we don't get this love thing down right, then what we have is a bitter taste in our mouth, a bitter taste in our soul. And what comes out of us is a little bitter. And I want to encourage you to let God teach us how to do this through this series. And like I used to do, if you need to listen to these tapes or these presentations over and over again, then do it. Do it for your own sake. Do it because you love you too much to leave you in your current condition. Amen? I encourage you to do that today. So I really believe that each of us at times, we are tempted to believe that God doesn't love me like he loves, and then you fill in the blank, to somebody else. He doesn't love me like he loves them. He doesn't love me, and then that's the temptation that we have, my friends. I think whether we want to or not, I think we entertain thoughts that go something like this. If the enemy comes and says, if God really loves you, then why does he allow you to go through, and then you fill in the blank? God loves you, why does he allow your air conditioner to just bomb out on you? You know, if God loves you, why did he allow you to go into a car wreck or have a car wreck? Or why did he allow a relationship you were in to fall or break or be broken, or a marriage? And if God really loves you, see, the enemy's faithful to be right there with what I call a shame stick. And he just beats on us all the time, trying to get us to doubt God, trying to get us to doubt his love for us. Because if I'm not convinced that God loves me, then I'm not going to come near to that God. I'm not going to draw near. I'm going to stay at a distance. Oh, I'll say I love God. I'll say the right words. But in my heart of heart, am I going to draw near to God? Am I going to walk in intimacy with him? Intimacy. You know, there's things that Cindy knows about me that nobody else knows. I've got two children. two daughter-in-laws, and they don't know things about me that she knows about me because she's crazy about me. Or maybe she's just crazy. I'm not sure which it is. I just want you to hear this. Please mark my words. There is an enemy of your soul, my soul, that is trying to get us to doubt God. Take it all the way back to the book of Genesis, and the thing that the enemy tried to get Adam and Eve to do was to walk in unbelief. And it doesn't start in unbelief. It starts in doubt. He plants a seed of doubt. And then with that doubt, unresolved, leaving that doubt unresolved, then other issues come up out of that doubt. And so when I talk to you today about, you know, him trying to get us to doubt his love for us, it's because I've lived it. I've walked it. I've been through this thing long enough to experience it several times in my lifetime where the enemy comes, and it's real. When he comes with those kind of accusations, it's real in your heart. It's real to you. That he, and otherwise it's not a real test. See, it also makes you have to look inside yourself and find out how strong is my relationship with God? How deep is this thing that I call I have a relationship with God? How deep is it? How sure am I of God's love for me? This last year I look across this family. We had several people in our fellowship that went home to be with Jesus through COVID. And I can almost guarantee you the devil came and said, if God really loves you, why did he let this happen? Why did he let this happen to your loved one? My friends, that's the stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that are hard to just answer. They're hard to walk out. They're hard to live out. But there's something we need to learn from God's word and let God help us. Because what the devil would love to do, he'd love to plant enough doubt in you and in me to stop us from praying. You're much more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness than you know. And one of the most powerful things you can do as a believer is pray. Pray where you put your trust in the living God, the Creator God. But if the enemy puts enough doubt in your heart and you allow it to stay, then you will not pray. And if you are prayerless, then you are powerless. If in fact you begin to embrace that doubt, it will also cause you to stop reading the Word. Why would I want to read the Word? Why would I want to draw near to God when I'm a little bit mad at Him? Because He allowed me to go through this, because He allowed my loved one to experience this. And so we stop reading the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And why am I going to draw near to somebody I'm mad at? That's not even a natural response. We typically put some distance between us and people that we're upset with. And we don't necessarily always recognize that part of the goal of the enemy is to get you to stop reading the Word, to get you to stop praying. He tries to convince you in this process that you don't need a Christian community. You don't need to be connected to the local church. You don't need fellowship with the body of Christ. You've got a family. You've got an extended family. You can just have times with your family. That's good enough. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that that's good enough. You see, and it took me a while to learn this, a while meaning a decade. I'm a slow learner in some cases. And that is that I need you. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need you more than I know I do. Now, I may not even want to need you, but I've learned that I need you. And there's things that God pours out when we come together as the assembly of believers that doesn't happen anywhere else or at any other time. So we need each other, and we need to be gathered together, or the word is assembled. We need to be assembled. We need to gather together so that God can speak to us both individually and corporately. Amen? But the enemy would try to get you to believe that you don't need church. You just fill your life with stuff. Have fun. And if there's time involved, go, okay, go ahead and go to church. Truth is, again, the church doesn't need me. I need it. And same with you. You need the body of Christ. You need brothers and sisters. You need people who know you well enough to pray for you. And if you're coming to the house of God, you just act like you're a little off your mark. They may not come and get in your face, but they may go home and pray a lot for you. They may pray through the week for you. They may call your name before the throne of God and ask God for his help for you. Help my friend. Help my brother, my sister. Lord, they just seem to be struggling. Help them. And they pray and call out your name before the throne of God. I want to encourage you to allow and make room for the community of faith in your life. You see, when the enemy comes and attacks your faith, it's an attempt to get you to walk in unbelief. Walk in unbelief. If faith is what pleases God, what does unbelief do? If faith is what releases God in our behalf, what does unbelief do? Do you see where I'm going with this? It's a subtle thing. The enemy doesn't come in big rush in with gangbusters. It's just little thoughts, little seed thoughts of unbelief, trying to get you to begin to believe or not believe that God loves you. And then it goes from there. Now, I'd like to read my text today and just pull out a couple of scriptures. And then we're going to go to communion. But again, I ask you, in light of going to communion, Jesus said to his disciples that from the time he established communion, it was to be done in remembrance of him. Now, he wasn't saying that to us, I want you to remember how great a price I paid for you. I want you to remember how much I suffered. I want you to remember, and it is all focused back on Jesus. No, communion is for us to take in light of what Christ has done for us, in light of what he's provided for me and for you, how am I doing in living in those promises and in those provisions? Am I taking full advantage of everything Jesus paid for me? That's what we have to come to terms with. And the enemy would try to rob us, each of us, every one of us, rob us from the joy of the journey. We're supposed to have joy in the journey. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to enjoy everything. Hello? I heard a very interesting conversation that went on between John Voight, the Hollywood actor. John Voight, he's an older actor now, probably 70-ish. He was having a conversation with Tucker Carlson. And John blew him away. Because he said, this is not a man known for a Christian walk. But in these last years, he said there was things going wrong in his life. And he'd been blackballed from some things and hadn't gotten movies and such as that that should have come his way. And he said, I found myself sitting there focusing on those negatives and focusing on how hard it had been for this season of his life. And he said to Tucker, and all of a sudden I heard a voice inside me that said, it's not supposed to be easy. And he said, it reverberated in him. It's not supposed to be easy. And he honestly went on to tell Tucker, he said, that began a journey with me discovering God in my life, was the fact that God was telling him, you're going to go through this life and you're going to have experiences that aren't intended to be easy for you. They're intended to bring out the best in you. Don't you know that the one who created you knows how to bring out the best in you? If Jeremiah is true, and I believe that it is, then God said that when Jeremiah was being formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. He knew him. Now, we know today that what God was talking about was DNA while he was being formed. See, God put in every one of us. We call it DNA, but it's what God's plan and God's purpose for our life. What you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to become. That's what God is wanting for every one of us to understand, is that he knows you. If he knows you and he wants you to discover him in different ways, excuse me, don't you think he knows how to get you from where you are to where he wants you to be? Without violating your will, can he help you become willing to embrace him in a new dimension, at a new depth or a new height? I believe so. Our text today reveals some things, very powerful, but simple things. In fact, if you put them on the screen today, it's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. And it comes back to that question that we were talking about, being separated from the love of God. Separated from him. Have you got it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, keep going, boys, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's exhaustive enough. It's exhaustive enough for us to glean some things today before we have communion. I want you to see that all the things that are listed there, the first thing says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice with me that it's not what shall separate you, but who shall separate you from the love of Christ? It's the what looks different each time we look at it. The what can be different for all of us. What you face might not be what somebody else faces. But we are all going to face things. Things that we, excuse me, at first we struggle with. And then we move forward from that. It goes on to ask the question, shall tribulation separate you from the love of Christ? Well, the Webster's New World Thesaurus says that tribulation, another word for that is trouble. Anybody had any troubles in these last few years? Trouble? How about sorrow? Another word for tribulation is sorrow. Have you had some sorrowful times that have come your way? Misery, another word for tribulation. My friends, my point is, that the Holy Spirit is the one doing the speaking. Please remember, he speaks through men, but it's the Holy Spirit that speaks. And the Holy Spirit says that those things cannot separate you from the love of God. He listed distress. Today we would call it stress and anxiety. Has the last 25 months dealing with COVID added any extra stress to your life? But can it separate you from the love of Christ? Persecution is not something that we know a lot about or have a lot of here in America, but the body of Christ experiences it all over the world. Cindy pointed out to me last week there was a group of 125 Christians that were killed at one time in one place. Why? Because of their faith in God. Now, that doesn't mean you won't experience persecution. You can be persecuted on your job to where you don't get advancements and you don't get those kinds of things that other people have simply because you're a believer in Jesus. That being said, you know, can that separate you from the love of Christ? That's what the Holy Spirit gave for us to hear in the scripture today. And then, my friends, it says, yet in all these things, not in some of these things, not in every now and again, God will come through for you. No, regardless of what you face, regardless of what I face, God will be with you. And he'll come through for you. Listen, as somebody who has been a Spirit-filled pastor for these past almost 40 years, I've preached the message that we find in the scripture, and yet I haven't always been able to experience the fullness of what the scripture teaches. It's a little frustrating, quite honestly, when you are wanting desperately to preach what the Bible says and give God a chance to show up and show out and do what he said he will do. And I've seen him do that hundreds of times. But it hasn't always happened for me. So now what? What do you do? Well, you have a choice to make. You have to settle it in your heart. You're either going to believe God or you're not. And I settled it a long time ago. If I'm not receiving something that I'm wanting to receive and think I should receive, and as far as I know, I've dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, I'm standing in light of the promises of God to receive it, then it's not God who's made a mistake. Somewhere I've misunderstood something. And I'm just going to put my trust in God even when I don't understand it. Amen? Yeah, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to put my trust in God even when I don't understand it. Even if I can't explain it to anybody else. But you can experience it. And in your experiencing it, you can experience the power of it. Listen, whatever you face, whatever your battle or that you're battling with, whatever it looks like or may look like in the future, your victory and my victory is in Jesus. In Christ is where we conquer. In Christ is where we experience victories. We're not going to experience victory if we're apart from Christ. We're not going to experience victories if we're not talking to Jesus, if we're not letting Jesus talk to us. We're not going to experience those victories. We're not going to have those incredible times, joyful times in the Lord, if the enemy's successful to separate us out from God. Now, you know, most of you know some of the history of the Apostle Paul. And what kind of a troublesome person he was for the body of Christ in the beginning. He's one of the few people that actually had written permission to murder Christians anywhere he found them. And he was good at his job until the Lord stopped him, saved him, washed him, and filled him with the Holy Spirit. And there's a line in here. I know I say to all the time that the Holy Spirit uses men to speak, and he does. But listen to this word that's in verse 38. He says, "For I am persuaded." Wow. You and I, that's what we need. There's something you've got to settle inside yourself today. Are you persuaded? You see, you can't wait until something comes up and then you decide whether you're going to trust God or not. You can't wait till you're in the middle of a trial and then hope that you can trust God for those things. You've got to settle those issues ahead of time. You have to choose. It's an act of your will. Putting trust in God is an act of your will. Releasing trust in God is an act of your will. I either choose to do it or I will not do it. Paul said, "I'm persuaded, and regardless of what comes my way, that God loves me." Now, did some things come against Paul? Did he experience some difficult days? I've never been whipped with a cat of nine tails. I've never been stoned and left for dead three times. I've never been on a ship and been snake bit. And yet, he had and could say, "I'm persuaded." None of those things keeps me away from the love of God. No hardship, no trial, no jail, no imprisonment. None of those things are going to keep me away from God's love for me. See, you and I have got to make this thing and settle this thing. We've got to put it on the scale of your heart and then decide, who are you going to believe? I think today is a day God has given us at communion to settle this. Settle it. I don't know, I just got this incredible impression from the Lord that this was not a message for just a few people. Every now and again when you're writing a sermon, you realize this is a message that literally speaks to specifically certain people, but this is a message that speaks to every one of us. We've got to settle what we believe. We've got to settle who we put our trust in. We have to settle that he loves us regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what we go through. We have to settle that. The scripture went on to say that there's no principality, there's no power, there's no ruler in darkness that can prevent the love of God from reaching you. I don't know how much dealing you've ever done with the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, but they're not to be toyed with. And they can sure make you feel like God forgot your address. Paul knew that, and he said, none of those things are going to separate you from the love of God. No matter how high you go in life, that won't separate you from the love of God. No matter how low you get in life, that won't separate you from the love of God. Settle it. Settle it in your own heart. Settle it for you, not for me, not for your spouse, not for your family members. Settle it for you. That you are convinced, you are persuaded, and nothing's going to change your mind. Help us, Lord. I believe the Apostle Paul settled it, and he said, "I am persuaded." And then you can fill in the blank. Neither death nor life. I don't know how many times you've experienced a near-death experience. Some of you have, I know, because I've pastored you and I've walked with you through those times. But if you haven't, that doesn't mean you won't. And you need to have it settled before death comes to your door. You need to know in your knower who you're persuaded to believe. And you're standing on the promises of God when those times come. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've had several people tell me the same kind of experience I had during these times of COVID. And that is that death actually came to their door and knocked on their heart. Said, "I'm here for you." And I said, "I'll poke you in the eye with a sharp stick." Yeah. Listen, you've got to know. You've got to be persuaded. Not I hope so. I hope so won't get you through the dark times. I hope so. I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but in the earlier years of the church, I was getting ready to go out somewhere, and I was actually in the shower. I guess the devil loves a shower. But he came to me at that point, and he said, I'm going to kill you this year. It was in January. He said, I'm going to kill you this year. I knew who it was. I knew it was real. I stopped. I reflected on what had been said, and I said, no, you're not. I said, you can't kill me. You can't kill me till God is through with me, because I'm on an assignment of His. So you can't kill me until He's through with me. And when He's through with me, I don't want to be here anyway. Now you talk about rain on His parade, that'll rain on the devil's parade. Why? He came to put fear in my heart. He comes to put fear in you and me. We've got to settle it. We've got to become persuaded that death doesn't make us afraid. We're going to live our life for God. But listen, the reverse of that is, He said, or life. Some people are afraid to live life. Don't be afraid of what life holds for you. You may not control it, but don't be afraid of it. You may not know which way it's going, but don't be afraid of it. Why? Because God loves you. Because God walks with you. Because God wants the very best for you. Now, I'll just tell you right now that after a couple of decades of walking this stuff out like this, I finally came to the place where I believed that everything we go through here in life is not all about this life. It's my personal opinion, and I can't take you to Scripture and say chapter and verse, this is where it's found, but the principle is there, and that is we are being trained to reign for Christ, with Christ. There's a millennium coming, and God is training us for reigning. And so what does that mean? It means that this is the testing grounds. This is the proving grounds. This is where you put your faith out there and prove, not to God, to yourself, that you trust God. That you may not understand all of it, but you still choose to trust Him. And one day, the Lord will reward you, and you'll serve with Him and reign with Him. And that's a part of what our future is. If that's the case, then some of what we go through here makes sense. If that's not what's going on in the future, then I don't have a clue. Now, you don't really believe I don't have a clue, do you? That is what it is. God is preparing us. He loves us too much for us to not come into the fullness of our DNA. He knows what He created you for. He knows what you're capable of. And sometimes we're not prone to just push right out there and go after it. So without violating our will, He creates circumstances around us that kind of help us. Am I talking to the right people? We find ourselves, and it's not that we're being pushed, but we're kind of being pushed. So that we don't miss what God has for us. Please hear that. Young and old alike, hear that. Hear that God has a plan for your life and a purpose. Then at the end of the text that I used today, it said, none of these things shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our only way to know God is through Jesus. You will never know the love of God apart from Jesus. You'll never know what God has in store for you unless you have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the door into the things of God. He's the door into God. And so I encourage you today to, as we have communion, weigh it out in your life. Are you in a relationship with God through His Son? Have you put your faith and your trust and your confidence in Jesus Christ and the work that He's done for you on Calvary? If the answer is not yes, then the answer is no. And I encourage you today, settle this today and know who it is that you put your trust in. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, if you would, please. While they're coming, before they even play one note, I want to open the altar and just give you a place to come and bring your needs to the Lord. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Well, I can do that at my chair. Yes, you can. However, it's not quite the same as you making a stance and moving forward toward God and saying, God, I've come to settle it. Or I've got one issue that I need to deal with and get it right before God before I take communion, and I'm coming to the altar right now to deal with it. As the praise team prepares to start in leading us, I'm just going to invite you to stand with me today. You're the one that gets to fill in the blank. You're the one that can fill in the blank. Nobody's telling you what it is you need to put in that place. But the enemy of your soul is trying to rob you of your faith in God. So I encourage you, settle that forever. Just put it to rest and settle it. Come to the place where you can say, I am fully persuaded that I am loved. Fully persuaded God loves me. Fully persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Fully persuaded that you are victorious through Jesus Christ, your Lord. I want you to slip out from your seat and come join these brothers and sisters that are here. And you, with them, just cast your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you.
Jesus, you never fail us. You never fail us. You might be here today and you hear this message from Pastor Rich and you've never made that decision to follow after Jesus personally. You have and you've walked away from living an active relationship with Christ. Today is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Today is your opportunity to invite Him into your heart and your life. It says here in Romans, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And it says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Today is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If that's you and you're here today, if you would just let us pray with you by raising your hand, we'd love to join you in that prayer. We're saying, Jesus, I want to invite you into my life, that you'd be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin and my mistakes. Forgive me of all those things. I want to place and follow after you. I want to place my heart in your hands. Invite you into my life. And if that's you today, we want to join you in that prayer. If you're with us online and that's you today, we want to join with you in that prayer. You say something like this, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my mistakes. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of all the ways that I've gone wrong. I want to invite you into my heart and life and make you the Lord of my life and follow after you all of my days. And praying a prayer like that, you're inviting Jesus into your heart, and we rejoice with you because today is your day of salvation and it's a life change day for you. Would you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. If you have your elements, we're going to partake in communion this morning. For us here in the room, it looks a little bit something like this. It's a little cup that has a plastic film on top. And inside is a wafer on the top, and then there's a foil for the juice. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given it thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray over this bread. For me, I like to break it because it's a reminder of the brokenness that Christ had on the cross for us so that we can be made whole. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your broken body for us. Lord, we thank you for this bread which symbolizes that brokenness. Lord, it's gone through a crushing. It's gone through a refining. It's gone through all those things to become what it is in our hands. But Lord, it symbolizes the transformation, Lord, that you did for us. Lord, where you took on the sin of the world and you were broken, even though you were sinless, you were broken for us, Lord, so that we could be made whole. So, Lord, we claim those things in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for wholeness in our whole being, in our emotions and in our bodies, Lord, in our relationships with one another, Lord, in our families, Lord, in all the things that have a sphere around us. Lord, we pray for completion and wholeness in the name of Jesus Christ, because it is ours, because of the brokenness you took upon the cross. Let's take up the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the same way, we take this cup and we hold it up and we say, "Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for your blood which was shed for us. Lord, in the symbol of this cup that we raise, Lord, we thank you for all of the stripes you took for us. This is by your stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, we claim healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's because of your shed blood for us. You became the sacrifice for all people for all time. So, Lord, we thank you by your blood shed. Lord, we are forgiven our sins. So, Lord, today, and we all ask, will you forgive us our sins? Lord, any area where we fall short, forgive us. Lord, that we come before you with holy hands, holy hearts. God, that we want to worship you in fullness, holding nothing back. Lord, we thank you for the great price which was paid. Lord, and you took on the sins of the world. You took on my sin, my mistakes. But Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness that was earned through it. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take of the cup together. Were you blessed by the ministry of Pastor Rich today? Amen. We're very thankful. I know he said this, and it's true, it was for those of us who are watching and those of us in the room, but I would encourage you to share this message with those around us. There are people who need to hear this. You can find it on our YouTube channel, cornerstoneaz.org. You can also find it as a podcast. It's on all the podcast avenues. Thankful to Jeremy and the team that are doing that work for us, making it available so we can have the Word of God wash over us. Amen. Before we go, let me pray this blessing upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, I pray a blessing upon your church, your people. God, I pray that you empower us by your Spirit. Lord, full of your love so we can live it out to those around us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Know this, we love you very much here at Cornerstone. God bless you and have a great and safe week.